Hello, and welcome to Faith Outside the Box, where we share faith journeys that take us in unexpected directions. I'm your host, Jan Engmeyer. Dr. Reggie Paul grew up in India, steeped in faith and trained to be a missionary. He holds multiple degrees from schools in India and the United States, and has dedicated the last 25 years of his life to introducing youth to Christ through the play Our Children, Our Good Friday. Welcome, Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul, tell us about your family history. Your grandfather was Hindu and became poor during the Madras famine in the 19th century. Tell us that family history story.
My grandfather was a Chetty. That means the people who do business and prosper, and was the richest man in India. And then this great Madras famine came and wiped out his business overnight. He lost everything that he had, and this man was very poor, and he was sitting on the docks of the shipping docks of the Madras. Then mysterious things happened. That's how in the faith the mystery happens. The faith gives us the mysterious things that God makes in your life. He was sitting, and then from nowhere, this 18 years old Kate French just finished her college in Boston, and she wanted to be a missionary. And she landed in the Madras, and she saw him sitting there. Probably at that time, what made her to have a connection with my grandfather, I don't know. And she adopted him, and she gave him John French, and my grandfather accepted her. And they traveled to my place, Hyderabad, India, on the bullock cart for 3 months. And then Miss Kate French came and established the Second Rabat Centenary Baptist Church and the schools around the villages, especially in the remote areas of the Andhra Pradesh. It is now called Telangana in Jammu, in Jangam. And so when I was born, Reggie Paul, my name, came from Kate French's father and uncle. Our father's name was French and uncle's name was Paul. And they split that name and gave me Reggie Paul. And then my grandfather, who was a Hindu, embraced the Christianity, the reality of Christianity, and the wonderful story of sharing, healing, compassion, and the faith-building, optimistic pursuit in his life when he lost hope, desperate. Here is the one lady. There were so many million people in India, but this one Kate French, who wanted to be a missionary from Boston, she wanted to go to China, but the ship missed her because her father was a carpenter and he was held up in his job. And she cried and she called the board office to Boston and said, "Send me anywhere. I'll go, but I will not come home." And the board said, "How about, would you like to go to India? The next ship is going to India." And then Miss Kate French came to India instead of going to China. And my family was born after her generosity, after her Christianity pursuit.
She was really the connection for your family's conversion to Christianity then, right?
Absolutely. She's the bedrock. She is the one. And this is what exactly does the word of God through one person goes around the nations, goes around the people.
Now, your wife's parents were also missionaries. Tell us about your wife and how you met.
Government of United States was recruiting male nurses from all over the world. After the Second World War, they ran low number of people, nurses in the United States. So my father-in-law applied for the United States to come as a nurse. In fact, to Chicago in the Cook County area. So he got permission to come to the United States. After 2 years, the President Nixon gave a permission that whoever are in the health service, serving the hospitals, can apply for the green card. President Nixon said, you can also bring your families, because the family unification was important. And so my grandfather brought all his things, all his children, and his wife. After 2 years, my wife, Rita, who was of marriageable age, they brought to India. And when they came to India, they were looking for doctors, and they were looking for people who can keep their status and who can take care of Rita very well. But my uncle, who was a Methodist pastor coming from the villages, was brought, came to Kansas. And at that time, Mr. Sidney Charles, who was my father-in-law, asked to see a boy for his daughter. And so my uncle, Reverend A. Joseph, late A. Joseph, told about this girl. And so ours was an arranged marriage, and I was only a PhD student. My chances are almost negligible. Here is a person coming from the America, I'm coming from India. What is there for me to impress her? Or to impress her family, or to impress her father-in-law? But God works mysteriously. And then in our families, we do arrange marriages, and the father somehow he selected me for his daughter. And then that was the first time we saw, and we got married within 7 days. We have no communication between her and us. And then I was in the final writing my PhD, and my studies were my top priority. And I told her she has to go to America within 3 days, because I cannot concentrate while she be with me. And she obliged, and she came to America. And I finished my PhD after 1 year. And I came on the April during the Good Friday. For the first time, I got down at the New York. I've never seen New York before. I never seen an American city, but I did see in the American movies. And then I went to LaGuardia, and I caught the plane, United Airlines, and I got down in Chicago in 1977. And I saw the beautiful lakeshore, and it was all like a Hollywood movies that I was going through the city. And then very next day, they took me to the church. And they in the Oak Park, and we had a Telugu Methodist church. And that was on the Good Friday. And when I went into the church, the church service was 3 hours, but it only adults were talking all about themselves and all about the events of the Good Friday, but all the children were outside the church. And this was a very shocking experience to me, because when I was in India, Good Friday is the foundation of our faith and a core belief on the seven words of Christ on the cross. And to us, it's the living faith. And it's where our life starts, with the word of God. To see the children deviate in America from that type of faith building I was very sad. And it was 1977, I told my wife, these children must be told the story of Good Friday.
Is this where your passion for working with youth actually comes from, that experience?
Yes, because I told my wife, I cannot see these children playing outside the church where they are supposed to learn the teachings, his trials, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, which is the foundation of life of every human being. God heard my prayer, but he didn't give me, he heard my vision, but he, until 1998, nearly 20 years of secular work, God called me and said, you can fulfill your vision. And that's what we started our passion play. That's why I called Our Children Our Good Friday.
Tell us about that play, Our Children and Our Good Friday, and also the Bible Handwriting Project. I'd like to learn more about both of those.
The main purpose of the passion play is to teach the seven words of Christ so they can apply in their lives, in their situations, in their classrooms, in their dealing, and in their societies, wherever they are. So what we did was we went to the house of every parent, of Christian parent who has come to America in the Chicago area. We gathered up, my wife and myself. We went in two vans. We collected the children. We brought to the Edgebrook Community Church every Saturday, and we trained. And we taught them the teachings of Christ, all the four Gospels. And we began to bring all the ideas together, and then we envision the 13 scenes. And then each scene is about 2.5 minutes, and it starts with the prophecy and ends with the resurrection. And each children have to read the Matthew Gospel in and out, and have to take a quiz of 120 questions. And they have to pass, then only they can start enacting. And then we, in my college studies, I did have some aesthetics, drama background, and we began to train the children. And when we performed the first play, we saw the potential of bringing the scripture alive through the children. Our motive is not to preach, but to enact, demonstrate the love of cross on the cross to each and one, to be involved and to be seen, because the word of God grows by hearing, by enacting, and by participating, and by proclaiming.
You have the passion play, and then you also have the Bible Handwriting Project. What's that about?
So each time we brought a group of children together each year, we found there was a low deficiency. Slowly they were drifting from the scripture because of the distractions and the churches not responding to their need, and we were looking at. So what we thought was, it is not so much reading but writing the Bible. So what we did was we initiated the Bible Handwriting Project. It increases the individual and the family and the church Bible literacy. If you're not literate of the Bible, your faith is not strong in the days of the persecution. You got to know what the Bible contains by writing each word, each book, each chapter, each verse that is implanted in your mind and heart. Nobody can take it away. Many Bibles are not printed today and many Bibles are not available. So what we started, a new revolution, write your own Bible for your own sake. And we are instituting the Bible. And we have written 9 volumes, 41 writers, small children from ages 5 to 72. And in some of the families, mother, father wrote along with their child. Few chapters, child wrote it, and few chapters, mom wrote it, and few chapters, dad wrote it, and the family literacy was born.
Let's talk about your faith journey a little bit. You said your faith was tested in Atlanta in 2003, and then again this year in Phoenix. What happened?
2003, we went 16 hours drive with a big coach. We were 42 people. We went there and we reached Atlanta in the evening. And the fellowship was beautiful. The Atlanta Association of Christian Churches called us. And we had a fellowship and the night time happened. But we were very much insistent upon asking the pastor, where is the auditorium? Because we have to see the lighting, audio. And we were asking again and again, the pastor said, now it is too late to go to the premises. I will take you early in the morning. You be ready, and you and your coordinators be ready at 5 o'clock. And we were here, we were staying in the big hotel, Holiday Inn Hotel. And so here we were tired, we had no sleep. And the pastor, then I told my coordinators, pastor wants us to be in the lobby at 5 o'clock in the morning. And we could only sleep for a few hours. We said, okay. And the pastor came. And when we went into the premises, that was a Methodist church that was sold to Hindu Cultural Council. After going there, we found out the church was sold to Hindus, and then they took us inside. And then when they took us inside, the plumbing was out of order for the last 6 months, and you can imagine the smell. Then we went into the church. And the church pulpit had 1 inch dust and nails on it. And then all the pews filled with the dust. And on top of the church was a small room, and there was a Hindu temple on the top. We didn't know that Hindu temple was on the top. So when we went, they said, you have to perform here in this church 5 o'clock. And we were there at 8 o'clock in the church. Then the first thing we did is we knelt and prayed. After praying, I had a strength. I said, firmly, we're going to perform the play. One lady took cleaning the bathrooms, the smelly bathrooms. One lady took the sweeping of all the pulpit. One brother who came along with it took the fixing the lights. And my work was bigger work. Now I have to build the stage. I have to build the curtain. And I don't know where the home depot is. And I have got only short time. Who will take me? How am I going to do? Just 2 months before we went in April to Atlanta in 2003, the Citibank sent me a credit card with a limit of 15,000. I laughed at credit. Why do I need 15,000? So I took that card and I just placed it in my wallet because there was no use for me. I have no greater use for that type of money. But then that was the credit card is the only one I had in my pocket. So what, then when I was looking for transportation, I asked one of the person who's very closely watching us, and I went to him and I said, sir, is there a Home Depot? And he said, yes, I know there's a Home Depot. But then I said, how can I bring all the material? I need 55-gallon drums. I need 24 bags of sand. I bring a poles to put it on. And fortunately, we went by the bus. We had all the equipment and the other things, but we do not have stage, so I have to build it a stage. He said, you can use my Toyota. I said, how can I use Toyota? So he came along with me. The little did I know, he was a missionary in Bombay. And he helped me out to bring this stuff. And we built it. And we performed the play. And we realized how God tests your faith. And guess what? When the people came, they were all Hindus. And we proclaimed. And then they asked me a question. Oh, we thought there are only one cross, Jesus and one cross. Why do you have three crosses? Why do you have two more people? I said, those two more people are you and me. Because the salvation is available. And then this Hindu lady who owns that church and who made it Hindu cultural center, she came running from the back to me and said, oh, Dr. Paul, I don't know Jesus was such a beautiful character. And I said, Lord, I have done the job. When the pandemic came, we went almost in 2020, we went all the way to the O'Hare. We bought all the tickets. We were 25 to 30 people. And the Denver airport was closed. We were about to perform in this Smoky Hill Church in Denver. So we had to postpone the Passion Play, and we came back. And then we prayed. When we prayed, God opened another door for us. But now we are going to study the whole of the scripture, whole of the prophecy, how God intervened in the story of Israelites, how the each word, the mystery of the God springs up in the time of trials and temptations. And we have to learn the word of God first. You want to do serve the Lord, you have to read the word of God from A to Z. And for 3 years, we could not go nowhere. No church called us. No church were opened for us. And that fourth year, they say, yes, you can come. I said, okay, Lord, this is the call. So we went and brought the tickets. And I put the same credit card that I had after 20 years. And I bought all the tickets. And the church people called me next day. It was a Bethel church in Phoenix, Arizona. They called and they said, Dr. Paul, why did you fix this date? We never said, okay, because we have our own celebration. We are celebrating our anniversary. You cannot come. And so I paid so much money. We prepared. All the children are ready to go. And then and they mysteriously, in the evening, they call back and they say, if you want to perform, you can perform in one church. And they gave the name of the church was North Valley Baptist Church in Phoenix. And that is a fundamental Baptist church. You can't make any error in the scripture. You cannot add anything. because they are strict in the doctrine and the gospel. I said, yes, we will do it. But then they said, nobody will come because they are all up. They will come for the morning service. They're tired. They come from different places, from the Scottsdale, or you name it, from places. They would come. I said, if one person comes, we'll do it. The church was filled with the unknown people. And we had a fellowship. And when we have enacted, pastors came and ran the audiovisual equipment. People helped us, the people who don't know, helped us to buy the equipment. Because we went with the plane, this time we brought no equipment. We have to buy other thing. And I cannot go and buy because I have to train the people, get used to this, give the instructions. Each one of us assumed a portion of it and brought, for example, to give you Barabbas. Barabbas' chain was 15 to 20 pounds. I cannot take it in the plane. I have to pay for it. So we said, okay, we'll tie the ropes. But Barabbas, one person went, rented his car, went to the Home Depot, bought the chain, and we had Barabbas. And spectacular, when he dropped the chain, we see why Pilate released the Christ that is in front of him, and why he released, why he did not release Christ, but he released the Barabbas, the known thief. And so it was amazing joy of fellowship after 4 years.
Dr. Reggie Paul, thank you so much for letting us walk with you on your faith journey. And to our listeners, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, leave us a review, and most importantly, tell your friends. Go to gcbm.org for all the links. Faith Outside the Box is a production of the Greater Chicago Broadcast Ministries, a communications ministry of the Protestant, Orthodox, and Episcopal Churches of Greater Chicago in cooperation with the Council of Religious Leaders of Metropolitan Chicago. I'm Jan Engmeyer. May peace be with you.